620 WGN. It is On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high atop Chicagoland. Want to welcome everybody in. And Scott, actually, you guys had everybody, you had me personally scared that we wouldn't be able to see anything, that was going to be cloudy. We've established that we can see pretty far. You know, maybe not as far as some days, but it's a beautiful day. It's been an absolutely great summer, and look forward to a great show for you today. Again, I mentioned an eclectic blend. We're going to have a bunch of racing, a bunch of cars, some cool events coming up, and this is, I think we're priming right in the middle of kind of the cruise night, classic car season, people getting out of the weekends and seeing some of their favorite cars, cars maybe that they hope to, you know, aspire to own one day, cars that they will never own but love to look at, and then maybe if they're lucky enough, showing off some of their very own cars, and hopefully the rain will stay away so people get out to all those different cruise nights and car shows this weekend. So on the show today, coming up in just a minute or so, or a couple minutes, we've got Sarah Paglia. She is from Chicagoland Speedway. You know her with all of the different action, racing action, but that complex, whether it's Route 66 in Chicagoland, they've got, it's kind of a motorsports enthusiast entertainment complex out there, and they've got some big events coming up. We'll talk to her in just a little bit. Shannon Spake from NASCAR Race Hub and Fox NASCAR is going to be joining us a little bit later. Eric Jones, you know him as the driver of the number 20 DeWalt Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing in the Monster Energy Cup Series. He will be joining us as well. We're going to have some IMSA features, Greg Elkin, and we're going to have one of those great drivers on from that series up at Road America a little bit later as well. And in studio with us, we have Greg Alonzo. You know him from Speakeasy Customs. He has been with us a number of times on the show. He's going to be with us the entire show in studio, kind of commenting and, you know, adding thoughts and maybe sharing some thoughts as well. 312-981-7200. Greg, welcome to WGN.
Thanks again for having me.
Wait, let's see. Maybe it's number five.
Yeah,
is that better? I don't know that that's better. Let's see.
Can you hear me here?
All right, let's check again. You got it?
There we go.
There you go.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dane.
So many microphones, and we are here in our new studios, and it's showing as far as where some of the microphones are at. So we're going to talk with you throughout the course of the program.
Yes, sir.
And some of the events, I know we're going to get into the Classic Auto Show coming up at the Donald Z. Stevens Center in September, but before that, there are some really great things happening at one of our favorite places on the planet, over there by Chicagoland Speedway. And on the line with us, we have Sarah Paglia. Sarah, welcome to WGN.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. I mean, we just started, so obviously, you know, there's room for improvement and also room for a lot of things to go wrong. But I was excited to see some of the information, and this is one of the things the listeners need to know. Sure, you've got those marquee events that bring in people from, you know, around the country, around the world, and the biggest stars of racing, but also you guys do some great things with these classic car events, bringing people in from the area.
Absolutely. So we actually have two on our horizon coming up in August and September. We have our Route 66 Classic, which is held on our drag strip. And then we also are hosting the Super Chevy event in September, which a lot of fans know, and we're eager to get back to our facility.
We'll talk about the, you know, the way it is. Some of them are spectator sports. People get in, of course, they get to see the cars up close and meet some of those drivers at whatever level of racing is being featured that particular day. But don't you guys have an event coming up where it's, I don't want to say, maybe it's not necessarily a swap meet, but there's a lot of just kind of, you know, memorabilia, people who just love motorsports and all of the things, the accoutrements, if you will, of motorsports, and it all happens right there.
Absolutely. So that is our Route 66 Classic. It's hosted on August 18th this year, and it is just the quintessential trip down memory lane. It is everything classic. It is a huge classic car show. Last year, we had such an amazing output of classic cars that we had to expand our parking, so fans can expect that we're not going to run out of parking this year and that we're going to have ample amounts to fit on. We're looking at 800-plus classic cars this year.
Wow.
We also host a pinup contest. We have a tiki bar. We have a variety of motorsports vendors and just classic vendors. And then we actually even have the Chicago Brushmasters on hand, who a lot of people know from their work with World of Wheels. And they do the same thing. They're out there. It's about 20 to 25 hot rod enthusiasts and artists that are on site pinstriping and airbrushing as you're walking by. And then all their original art is actually auctioned off to benefit Ronald McDonald House Charities. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We have so much going on, including actually drag racing. So it's a really a well-rounded hot rod event.
Yeah, if you think about this, is there's nothing wrong with just a cruise night or a car show. People get in to walk around, kind of check out some of the cars, talk with those owners. Those conversations are always great. But a pinup contest and then a tiki bar. I wasn't sure where the tiki bar came in. I like it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there was the tiki movement of the 50s, and there's places like Halakahiki out in River Grove that really celebrate that movement. And so we wanted to pay homage to it. So we actually decked out one of our portable bars. You know, it has the grass overlay on the top, and we serve Mai Tais and a whole bunch of tropical drinks. And it's really just an awesome place to hang out, listen to some live music, and then also see on the stage our pinup contest, as well as those Brushmasters auctions that I was talking about. It's really just kind of a hub of entertainment right there in our midway. It's really awesome. It's a great time.
Yeah, Greg's got a question.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do know what you're talking about with the connection to the 50s or the tiki, especially with a lot of the colors that were done on the cars back in the 50s. They had a lot of pastels and yellows and corals and turquoises that would really fit to the tiki model.
Yep. Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
And then we'll see anything from 1979 at the youngest. And we'll see. I mean, last year we saw some early 1900, 1908 Model Ts. It was insane, the range of cars that we saw. Like I said, we're expecting 800 plus this year, and we're looking to get a little bit of everything.
Wow. Okay, well, we're definitely going to touch base, even before that and highlight that again. But before we let you go, give the information. People can go on there, kind of see all the things that are going on, maybe even register and bring their car, but come out and join you for that show.
Absolutely. Yeah, so our website's Route66Raceway.com and has all our information about our events, including our upcoming Route 66 Classic, which is on August 18th. Our gates are opening at 11 a.m. Classic cars can come in for $20 for the car. Doesn't matter how many people are in that car, $20 for a classic car from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And any more information can be found at Route66Raceway.com, or you can visit us via the phone at 888-629-RACE.
Wow. Okay. Well, that sounds like an amazing can't miss event. Sarah, thanks so much for taking some time and jumping on the air with us today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, you think about, the whole kind of world of getting out there in the summer, enjoying things, whether it's event. And of course, we talk a lot of travel, transformative travel, family, road trips. You're going to want to be as healthy as you can so that you can enjoy all of those things. And I know that the station has got a great partnership with Grainberry. So when we come back, we're going to have an interview with the Grainberry folks, talk a little bit about them, this product, Jewel, and some people that they're working with to make your summer great and as delicious and helpful as possible. So quick break. We'll be back after this. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high over Chicagoland. Can see very far. I don't know if we can make out all 185 locations of Jewel Osco from here, but we can certainly see a lot of people out there. It is summertime, and the eating is easy, very easy, almost too easy. Every weekend is filled with barbecues, parties, and unfortunately a lot of unhealthy choices. Today on the line, honored to have Bob Harris, founder and chairman of Grainberry Mills, Peter Harris, president of Grainberry Mills, and in studio with us, Melissa O'Brien, Jewel Osco retail dietitian. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome, and thank you for having us.
Thanks for being on, jumping on the air. Now, Bob and Peter, here's the thing. In this day and age, there's so many kind of unhealthy things to do out there. And if you can be in the business of health and eating healthy, I think you're ahead of the game. And of course, Bob, you've been doing this for a long time. So guys, tell us a little bit about how you started with healthy eating.
Okay, well, my dad died at age 41 from a heart attack, and that was so impactful on me. I vowed to protect myself and my children from heart disease. Since heart disease can be prevented with exercise and the right fats, the right fruits and vegetables, the right whole grains, that I and my son Peter created and marketed a series of fresh good foods, the latest being Grainberry with Onyx sorghum. And I have to add this, Jewel was my very first customer.
Oh, wow.
With Weight Watchers margarine back in the 80s or even 70s. And I have to thank you for helping us get going today. So, Melissa, thank you.
Well, you're welcome on behalf of Jewel.
you think about it, guys, though, when it comes to Juul, and I know you guys are all over the place impacting people all around the country, but it doesn't get any more Chicago for the families of Juul, an iconic brand that has been around since 1899. Everybody has grown up with Juul, so it's cool to see you guys having such a great history with them as well. When it comes to those products, and in Juul, you guys mentioned it, you've got that great history, and now a Grainberry is the thing that we're kind of focusing on today. How did you guys decide to start Grainberry? How did it get its start?
Well, after I sold a Smart Balance margarine back in 2007, I communicated with scientists at several universities to find the ultimate in the grains and the oxidants. We heard about and we grew Onyx sorghum. Onyx sorghum in West Texas to add to our whole grain oats and whole wheat and low sugar, and the history was made with the most remarkable antioxidant cereal and mixes we now call Grainberry.
One other point about sorghum. Many people have heard about sorghum. It's a grain like corn. I think it's the fifth largest grain in the country behind oats and more corn, wheat, and rice. So Onyx sorghum is a type of sorghum that we have an exclusive license for from Texas A&M, and it is grown for us, as my father said, by a farmer in West Texas. And the significance of this Onyx sorghum is twofold. One, it's higher in antioxidants than any food virtually in the supermarket, higher than blueberries, pomegranate juice, red wine, etc. Wow. And it also slows sugar absorption, so it's good for diabetics or weight control.
Okay, so the antioxidants, of course, listeners will know that, you know, that's one of those kind of, you know, hot buzzwords. Everyone's looking for as much of that as possible to get in there and support them on the health side. If you can build it into your breakfast, I think that's great. But you mentioned, too, it controls your weight, the weight loss situation. I think everybody, especially in the summertime, so many great treats out there. You mentioned barbecue parties, of course, ice cream and all that kind of stuff. People are kind of looking to watch their weight. But sugar absorption, too. Diabetes is a big topic out there that people are working on, especially with kids and adults. And I know in our family, my wife was just diagnosed with diabetes as well. So this is great to know. How does it slow sugar absorption? I mean, how does it work that way?
I'll be happy to explain that. The wonderful thing about this cereal and these mixes is that whole grains generally are digested more slowly than simple grains. They are not whole, but sorghum is digested more slowly than whole grains. But whole grain wheat, for example, and whole grain oats, Onyx sorghum, slows down the metabolic timeline. Onyx sorghum contains an ingredient that you may not have heard of. It's called 3-deoxyanthocyanin. It's a type of anthocyanin that has unique properties, and it develops its strength from sunshine. I call it sun sorghum. But the important reason why it is good for weight management is because it digests so slowly that you don't get a spike in sugar and a spike in calories all of a sudden. It's a very gradual thing, and it's a good way to lose weight because you're eating something that tastes great.
Wow. Okay. Oh, all right. We got that a little bit. And I think that's important, too. A lot of the listeners, the most important thing, certainly they'll look for those health properties, but that it tastes great. And so I think that's something that people will definitely appreciate. Now, I want to let the listeners know we're talking with Bob Harris. He's the founder and chairman of Grainberry Mills. Peter Harris as well. He's the president of Grainberry Mills. And in studio with us, Melissa O'Brien from Juul Osco. She's the retail dietitian. Melissa, as a dietitian for Juul, you got to have a certain philosophy, right? You know, on healthy eating in general. Juul has everything. So many of the things, you know, many are healthier than some of them are indulgences. And of course, we spend a lot of time in those aisles. But what's your philosophy?
Sure. So as a dietitian, especially one that works in a grocery store. My philosophy is that we need to try and make good nutrition choices most of the time, a good majority of the time, choosing lots of fruits and vegetables, choosing those whole grains like the sorghum that Bob and Peter were telling us about, lots of protein. But at the same time, we have to make time for those indulgences. And we can't feel guilty when we want to have those indulgences. So really having a balance between making really great choices a lot of the time and then enjoying our favorites some of the time.
So everything in moderation.
Absolutely.
Including some of those summer barbecues. And so, Melissa, what are some of the tips that you can give to start the day healthy and in a healthy way and avoid overeating during the busy summer months? Because, you know, that's they always say, like, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It kind of sets that trend for what happens.
Yep, absolutely. So when you start the day off right, it's been studied that we make better choices than throughout the day. So starting your day with a high fiber whole grain, like the cereal that we're talking about with that great onyx sorghum, really starts the day off right. We want to pair it with some protein. We know that when we have protein at a meal, it helps keep us full and get us to that next meal without needing lots of snacks. And then as we continue throughout the day, maybe before we go to those barbecues and parties, continuing to have lots of fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
And then also staying hydrated. So, you know, making sure we're having lots of water and not relying on sugary beverages that are going to add lots of calories with not a lot of nutrients.
Wow. See, a lot of stuff there. See, I always wondered this too. And, you know, I wanted to know what's the most common question that you get as a dietitian for Jewel. Because, you know, people, once they hear what it is you do, they're probably saying like, hey, should I be eating this or I make that or this is what I have, right? You know, yep. Is this bad for you? I'm sure the most common question is obviously, what aisle can we find the grain berry, right? Other than that, what are some common questions?
Absolutely. So I think the most common thing people are looking for is like something that's quick and an easy fix. But what I always try to remind people is that healthy eating isn't a fad. It's something that we want to have really as a lifestyle. So not falling for those things that seem too good to be true. What we really have to get back to is just making those good decisions throughout the day and not looking for the quick fixes.
To everything in moderation, except, of course, grain berry. And, of course, starting your day with...
Hey, Dane.
Yes.
Dane, I just, first of all, thank you again for inviting us on your show. You got wonderful people. But I wanted to say that I call on many supermarkets around this country, and I must compliment Melissa, of course, and Jewel as a company, because... Of course, business is business, and Jewel is in the business of selling groceries and non-groceries, but they have made a major, major effort into helping people be more healthy. And Melissa is correct that that's the key in longer life. And I don't mean to be long-winded, but Jewel takes it an extra step by putting the focus they do with the dietitians and the selection of healthier products throughout the store.
Well, we obviously appreciate that, and we appreciate that you're in on this, and Jewel really is, and I know the listeners would agree, it's like a member of the family here in Chicago. They've had that presence for as long as any of us can remember, and such a big part, obviously, with what we have, you know, at our table with our family, with our meals and all that. Want to let the listeners know we've been talking with Bob Harris, founder and chairman of Grainberry Mills, Peter Harris, president of Grainberry Mills, and guys, before we let you go, and we know we're going to find it on the shelves at Jewel, but also, too, is there, you know, a website where people can go to get more information or to find out all of the things that you guys are doing at Grainberry?
Just grainberry.com. Any information they want to regarding Grainberry.
Grainberry, all the different nutrients, all the amazing things that it can do, and, of course, those flavors that people are going to be enjoying as well. So, guys, thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for being on WGN.
Hi, everyone. This is NASCAR driver Kenny Wallace and Fox Sports analyst. You are on the road with Dane and WGN.
WGN on the road here, Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland. Can see very far, cannot see all the way to Road America, our national park. of speed. However, we know that some great stuff happens out there. And if you're going to take your family out for a road trip where you're going to get every bit of the nature that you know and love, plus all the motorsports from a number of different disciplines, that is definitely a place to go. You heard Kenny Wallace, and it's kind of made me think, too. He's a guy, of course, made his name in NASCAR. You know him from so much of that stuff, but also does a fair amount of dirt track racing as well from the other disciplines. And we cover them all. And on the line with us is a guy who has a lot of great things going for him. Number one, his great history working at Texas Motor Speedway in all those different series, whether it's open wheel or certainly some of the NASCAR stuff. And, of course, he's a devoted and a beloved Cubs fan as well. So that's not a terrible thing, right? I think that's a good thing.
He is definitely a plus.
Yeah, a director of communications for IMSA, the one and only Greg Elkin. Greg, welcome to WGN.
Dane, thank you. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
It's great to have you. I want to let the listeners know to stay tuned a little bit later on in the program. We're going to have one of the great drivers from your series, Joe Wow Barbosa, is going to be joining us around 3:30. So stay tuned for that. But for the listeners, you know, there's a lot of different. And during the break, I was talking with another Greg Alonso here in studio with me, kind of filling him in a little bit on the series. What are the things about it, as a guy who's known and experienced and worked with all of them, that people should know and really appreciate about IMSA?
Well, I think, Dana, the thing that comes to mind first and foremost is we have 17 different manufacturers in our series. And when you look at NASCAR, you know, there's three, IndyCar, there's two. We have 17. And, you know, if I pulled a stock car or an Indy car up to your house, there's really nothing in those cars that are in the car that people drive to work every day. But in our series, you can buy these cars. Now, obviously, these are modified for racing, but they're basically the same engines. Some of them are exactly the same cars outside of the prototype class that we have. And so that's manufacturers are really involved in this series, putting technology in cars that ultimately gets transferred into the cars you and I and all the listeners drive around town every day.
Well, when you say that, I'm thinking of expanded and more comfortable, you know, and usable, you know, cup holders and things like that. You know that that's not it. But what are some of the things? Is it maybe the, whether it's the carbon fibers or maybe some of the, I don't know, piping inside that helps on the safety issues? What are some of those things? Maybe the braking that we see in our cars?
That's exactly, those are some of them. Suspension work, engine work, you know, they're trying out, you know, as you get more popular or more powerful cars that the consumer can buy, a lot of those engines are the ones that end up in these race car engines. So anything and everything that are the basics of a car outside of, you know, audio or navigation, things like that, but suspension, the use of carbon, tire wear, those are all things they're pulling out of this series and the data they get that they're transferring into the technology of cars that today and future cars.
And you guys race at some of the iconic tracks. You know, you know Daytona, Long Beach, Watkins Glen, and those kind of things. What are there some? Do you have some favorite ones? Of course, we know we've had you on the show before, where you're down at one of our, you know, other great tracks, Texas Motor Speedway. Now you're all over the place as the director for the series. How's it been? Kind of getting out and seeing the entire country.
I'll tell you, it's been great because we go to some places that are, you know, like you say, you go to Daytona, which everybody knows, and obviously the track's modified for road racing. But then this weekend we're up at Lime Rock State Park in Northwest Connecticut, and there's not a lot around here. So some of these places are kind of in the middle of nowhere, but that makes them unique. And, you know, I've really enjoyed kind of our races in Detroit and Long Beach this year, which have kind of that Monte Carlo feel to them, and the Monaco Grand Prix. So Road America is at top of almost everybody's list. Yeah. And so that's coming up in a couple of weeks, so we're looking forward to get up to Elkhart Lake.
What's some of the background? Of course, we're going to ask Joe Wow, you know, his thoughts on Road America. I know he'll be back behind the wheel for that race. But, you know, I know as we talk with some of the drivers on the Xfinity Series, they run a race up there. Some of them that like road racing at all really appreciate it. And on the IndyCar Series, I mean, it's almost to a person. They absolutely love that track. What's the feedback from your drivers about Road America?
I would agree with that. From what I hear, they really like it. It's the longest track that we run on all year. It's a little over 4 miles, and then it's got the long straightaway heading from the last turn up to the start-finish line, and they really like that because they can get, even though it's uphill, they can get a lot of speed, and those are the main things that they like about it. And I think, you know, the other, they have great crowds up there, and everywhere we've gone this year, our attendance has been up. And I think when, you know, just like anything, when there's a big crowd and a lot of energy,
around a facility. It gets everybody pumped up a little bit more, and I know they enjoy that.
Yeah, and when you think about this, for Road America, we've said it a lot of times. We had John Everett on a number of times for the IndyCar races. Get up there, because if you are a car enthusiast, a motorsport enthusiast, you're going to love, you're going to have a great time at Road America, because you really do get to move around. You don't necessarily have an assigned seat. You can walk through the pits. You can talk with the drivers and teams, of course, you know, when they're not busy trying to win a race. But, like, the access is really unparalleled there.
Well, and that's the great thing about IMSA, Dane. That it, you know, sometimes when you go to a race in another series, you have to pay a little extra to get some better access. Ours isn't. When you pay your admission price, we have a great grid walk. All the cars are out there before the race. We have autograph signings where all the drivers are in front of their transporters. That's all included in your ticket price. So you can get right up close to these machines and see them and take pictures and, you know, meet and talk to drivers. They're more than happy to do that. And, you know, we have Helio Castroneves now, Juan Pablo Montoya. So, you know, there's some names that a lot of people know in our series, and that's what's bringing these crowds up.
Wow. So it's a great opportunity not only to see these cars from these series and all that technology, and, of course, you know, the up-and-coming drivers, the stars of the sport, and then some legends in there kind of thrown in as well, and all at our National Park of Speed. RoadAmerica.com is the place you go for tickets. And Greg, let the listeners know we're talking with Greg Elkin. He's the Director of Communication for IMSA. People want to get more information about the series and check out all the different events and things going on. Is there a website for it?
Sure. IMSA.com, IMSA.com, and our Twitter handle's at IMSA, the same thing. And we appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today and look forward to seeing everyone at Road America in a couple weeks. I was just up there earlier this week doing a couple media tours, so they're ready to have us.
And don't worry, I hate to pull you away from it. I know you're busy working, but I'll give you an update. It's 4-2 right now. The Cubs are over St. Louis, and it looks like it is the either bottom
base
or the top.
Base is loaded, right?
Yeah, top of the seventh, so everything's going well in the world, and thanks, Greg, for checking in.
Well, Dane, I appreciate the opportunity. We look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, thanks. That is Greg Elkin, and that is just another great thing happening up there at Road America. Another reason to get up there and experience all the nature and all of that motorsports. We're going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to have another Greg Alonso. He is in studio with us the duration of the program. You know him from Speakeasy Customs. We're going to talk about the world of car restoration, the trials, the tribulations, the triumphs, right? And he's had some great success at World of Wheels. Got a couple cool shows coming up as well. 312-981-7200. If you've got a car you want to talk about, maybe, hey, what would it take to bring this car back? Or, you know, maybe, you know, you want to get something special for your dad, you know, or somebody, right? Or your mom, you want to get them that certain car. He'll know what it'll take to get it on the road and looking better. And put some hydraulics in it too, right?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? All right, quick break and staying here on the road, 720 WGN.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Walsh, NASCAR analyst on Fox, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillac.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios. High atop 303 Wacker in studio with me. And you listen to a little bit of that one piece at a time. And it's the kind of thing that our next guest, he's been in studio, so you've heard him comment. He will comment further as we move on towards the program. But Greg Alonso, Speakeasy Customs, in studio with us. And that's the way it is. Sometimes people just bring you a box full of parts and say, like, hey, and then they show you a picture out of Hot Rod Magazine and say, like, how long do you think it'll take?
Yeah, that's true. We have a 1970 Mustang that's very similar. The guy brought us a whole bunch of pieces, new metal pieces, and said, showed us a picture of the one he wants. He said, can you make this? I'm like, well, yeah, but it's going to take some work and it's going to take some time. But yeah, that's the fun challenge of it all, and trying to put all the pieces back together. And then when you don't have the pieces, sometimes you have to make them.
Yeah. Well, for those people, and you know, Speakeasy, you do a lot on social media, pretty prolific with it. We'll give out all that information for sure. But you do kind of, and this is, you know, I see social media a lot of times. It's a lot of extra work sometimes to be able to share that stuff. I think it's so important, right? It gives insight into what it is that's going on. But you share that stuff, you know, all the parts you have to fabricate and those kind of things. And in your business, of course, you're supportive of a lot of your colleagues at other places. But do you think that's one of the things that you enjoy doing, or that you maybe sets you guys apart? Is like, hey, when you don't have a part, it doesn't stop everything. You just make it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, about the social media, media, it is like a second job sometimes trying to keep up with it, but it's also rewarding and getting the feedback from, like you said, your peers and your other fellow builders as far as what you're doing. So that's part of the joy in it. And it also leads to bringing in new clients and new customers and new audiences. But it is a big part of it. And then as far as like the fabricating part, sometimes that's the biggest fun of it all. You know, you're coasting through with all the purchased parts, and then all of a sudden you hit a challenge, and it can be a challenge, but it's very rewarding when you finally meet it.
See, it takes a village. It's good that there are people like you, Greg, out there, because I'm imagining my own situation where, you know, maybe I'm bringing home something from IKEA, you know, which is, you know, and then all of a sudden you don't have some of the parts. Instead, you know, I would see that as kind of a downer, right? I wouldn't see it as an opportunity to go
make something new, right? No, it's true. You know, I mean, even just the other day, I couldn't find a key for the bathroom paper towel dispenser, so I made one. And, you know, so, and it worked, you know. And so even just the small things like that can be, you know, it's like you said, rewarding when you get there.
We talked at the top of the program to Sarah Paglia from Chicagoland Speedway and on the Classic Car Show. 800 cars.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Are going to be out there. And for someone like that actually is in, you know, the process on a regular basis of creating some of those cars that are there, like when you go to a car show, are you able, do you enjoy it the way, let's say I would, where you look and you're like, whoa, you know, because I can appreciate cars from whatever level of, you know, there's a bunch of different ones, you know, they don't all have to be really expensive or really super rare. I think you can appreciate when someone, you know, really cares about their car, put some time in it. And
well,
and
yeah,
they
that's
out.
The thing. It's the effort.
Do you see it from the critical standpoint of like, oh, they could have done this better, or do you bird dog it, say like, I'd like to work on something like that?
I do both, to be honest with you. Sometimes when I see really good, high quality work, I try to find flaws just to make myself feel better, because, you know, you want to like, oh, this is so good, and like, oh, but what about that?
Yeah,
that's but true. You know, at the same time, you see other cars where, like you said, it may not have a lot of money put into it, but it's still a really cool car because of what they did to it. They put their own character into it, their own flavor, and you learn to appreciate things for what they are. And even I'm designing, you can end up designing a car for somebody that you might not really like personally, but at the same time, you value their opinion and what they are trying to make for themselves, and it's still something that you've created. So
now, do you see in that world, and there are certain you know, makes and models of cars that have remained timeless, whether you're watching, you know, like a Mecum or Barrett Jackson, or, you know, those cars that have been, that have kept their popularity, you know, for whatever reason. It's just something that kind of connected or resonated with people. You mentioned, you know, like the Mustangs, like the older Mustang. You probably see a bunch of those, I know, off the air. You talked about working on a Corvair. Are there certain kind of cars, even if they are popular, that you know are kind of more, I don't want to say trouble, but maybe that you don't maybe enjoy as much as a summer? Are you always looking for different cars to work on?
Yeah, no, I appreciate every kind of car I've ever come across. I've not yet come across a car that had needed work that I was like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, and so you definitely find a joy in the cars for what they are, you know, the different characteristics, the different styles. Even, you know, from anything from a modern Lamborghini all the way to a 1910 Model T, you know, you can find a true car person can appreciate both, basically.
Well, there's a bunch of people, you talk about the TV, you've got, whether it's like, you know, Counting Cars on History Channel or all those shows on Velocity, it reminds me a lot of, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago, the cooking shows, you know, where you'd have a lot of like Food Network type shows that were kind of similar, you know, where people would go out and about. Maybe they were sort of takeoffs on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or some other things where people would get out and kind of highlight and showcase some of the food. And now you're seeing a lot of shows that kind of represent the stuff that you do, you know, all different ways with different hosts and the personalities. But you watch those shows, and do you ever say like, it doesn't work like that, or you could never do that? Or
sometimes you do catch them doing stuff like, I remember one time they pretended like they broke a window. I'm not going to name the show, but they were pretending like they broke a window
just for like entertainment value,
right? But you could say that wasn't the real window. It was like, hey, wait, that wasn't the actual window, that was a replacement. So, you know, they do stuff like that. But, you know, I try to ignore all that, and I just focus on the work that they're building and the work that they're doing to really see what they're trying to deliver.
Well, I know coming up a little bit later on the program, we're going to talk with Rob from the Claremont Collection, mm-hmm. and you guys are collaborating. There's a big show coming up. I know we're going to be doing some stuff. I'll have some of these kind of their celebrity guests on and hosts, and we're going to have some tickets, and so everyone should stay tuned for that. It's the Classic Auto Show coming up September 8th and 9th at the Donald E. Stevens Center, but you guys are working on, you're actually working with them, right?
Yes, I have been working with Claremont Collections on a vehicle called the Golden Sahara 2.
No, okay, is that, I'm trying to remember, is that like a Bronco or something?
No, it was actually, I believe, a 53 Lincoln that was actually wrecked by George Barris. If you're not familiar, George Barris is the creator of the Batmobile and many other historical monkey's vehicle, the monkey's car,
the monsters
exactly. Yep. He built this car for a private owner out of a car that was his personal Lincoln that he wrecked as a brand new car.
So it's called the Golden Sahara 2, but that's kind of like the name for it, like the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah.
Because wasn't there like a GMC Sahara or some kind of a...
Yeah, that was
like
a Sahara SUV, yes.
Okay, so not anywhere near the same.
No, it has nothing to do with that. No, not at all. And this thing is amazing. It's like nothing you've ever seen before, to be honest with you.
So wait a minute. So what, is it golden?
It is actually, the funny thing is it was actually painted white with originally, and the paint that they used literally had ground up fish scales in the paint to give it a pearlescent look to it.
Wow.
And over the years, when it was in storage, those fish scales actually deteriorated or decomposed, if you will. And it's now given it, yeah, literally. And now the car has this beautiful golden hue to it, which is amazing that it was called the Golden Sahara for different reasons because it had a lot of golden accents. A lot of the parts were gold plated. So now the entire car is gold, and it's just an amazing vehicle all around. It had so many features that most people don't even realize. Historically, it was the very first autonomous car ever built. It had automatic braking system that was used, I believe, used sonar. It had remote control steering and driving. They used two old Motorola TV remotes to create a remote control that you can steer this car and drive it with.
And what's the year on the car?
It was originally built in the early 50s, and I think by George Barris, and then it was upgraded in 62, I believe, with all these special features.
But imagine like a 19, I mean, for those people out there that may have, remember, imagine what a 1962 TV remote would be like. You know,
it's two buttons.
Like a toaster or something.
It was two buttons. It was a little square with two buttons, one that went up and down. Each one went up and down. And it was basically up and I think it was channel and volume. That's all I had.
We're going to take a break in a second. But also, too, on the tire side, something very unique and something I had never heard of before.
Yeah, the most special part about this car was that it had clear tires for it. They were made of neothane, I should say. It was basically the same material that was used to make old chunky skateboard wheels.
Right.
And it actually had a ring of lights around the inside of the rim that would light up the tires and make them glow.
Crazy.
And it was amazing. And the thing is, they were originally produced by Goodyear as a promotional thing, and they never sold to the public. So they're unavailable, and obviously the original ones deteriorated years ago. But actually, I've been working with Goodyear in an attempt to get them to reproduce these tires for the vehicle.
I mean, how does one just call up and you use the words in an attempt to get them to reproduce?
Yes.
But, you know, Greg, you're only looking for like one set, or are you going to say like, hey, this could be the next big craze?
Right. And that is very true. And that's kind of the direction that we're trying to take this whole clear tires into. The thing is, the historical person that I reached out to in Goodyear told me in 40 years, he's only seen one tire and it was cut up and made into a lamp, so it wouldn't even be usable anymore. So there's one that exists, but not a whole set for the vehicle. That's the attempt at getting them remade.
That's some cool stuff. A little bit later on in the program, we'll talk about, you know, it's one thing to go ahead and make cars great. People are doing that, and hats off to all those people, but to bring them to World of Wheels and win some awards that you have done,
yes sir,
shows that not only you're doing some great things, but some special things as well, recognized by the peers. And I think we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we're going to send it to news. But Ashley, is it like a tiny little break, this one? Is it like... It's a 7-second break. So we're going to take a 7-second break. We'll be right back on the road here, 720 WGN.
Hey, everyone. This is Will Power, IndyCar driver, and you are on the road today on WGN.
720 WGN on the road. We are back after the 7-second break that you heard Will Power. He just won the... the Indianapolis 500, probably a career bucket list event for him. And you know, you're kind of made, right? You're known for that. And Greg Alonso from Speakeasy Customs in studio with us. And you think about some of the awards that that you can win as a person making custom cars, and some of those that you got at World of Wheels, it's right up there, right? It's the kind of thing that probably when you're sitting in with someone and they're trying to, you're trying to either get their business or talk to them about designs and stuff, it's probably something you lead with, like, hey, well, this is what we've done.
Yes, yeah, and actually, yeah, like you mentioned World of Wheels. We had a 1953 Chevy pickup truck that was in the World of Wheels show, and that took first place in its category.
It was awesome, by the way.
It was amazing. It had we did all the suspension work. We did a two-link rear suspension. We changed the rear end to a Riviera, I believe it was a Riviera rear end. We did a Mustang II in the front with rack and pinion steering, a whole new hydraulic system where all the hydraulics were hidden so you don't even see them. It was an amazing vehicle. We also had a convertible 47 Chevy convertible that I think it took second place in its category. And then we also had a 64 Impala, blue Chevy Impala that was actually made the top 20 of the show, which was huge for us. And I think we just found out that that same car might be featured in Lowrider magazine soon as well.
Wow. Okay. See, this is it. This is great. This is great stuff. It's good to share. Obviously, great examples at some of the car shows. When,
for
you know, win
for the record, though, we didn't do all the work on the 64, but we did do a lot of the work.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just to be a part of something like that, I think is some high praise as well. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, stay tuned because we'll have Shannon Spake on. You know her from NASCAR Race Hub. You know her from Fox NASCAR, and we're going to talk a little bit about the racing side for sure, but also, you know, her birthday's coming up, and that's really great. Plus, also, she is one of those leading by examples on the racing side, from the running side too. She's going to be doing an Ironman triathlon and all sorts of stuff. Took a trip to Washington, so we're going to tap into her for the family road trips, transformative travel, and all that kind of stuff as well. So stay tuned. Right now, though, straight up 3 o'clock. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speakers use just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Green Tea Services. Here's Bob Kessler. WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio high atop Chicagoland at 303 Wacker, and honored to have on the line, you know her as one of the hosts for NASCAR Race Hub on FS1, all of the great work she does with NASCAR on Fox, a bona fide movie star playing Shannon Spokes on Cars 3. It's always great to have her on, the one and only Shannon Spake. Welcome to WGN.
I like the music that you played leading into this interview, my little Iron Man theme.
Well, you know, a little bit of inspiration. You know, music can do that, right? You want to have the right stuff. But when you physically embody the lead-in music, I think that's very cool. So we always talk to the drivers and some of the personalities in motorsports, and it isn't always just, you know, hey, who was, you know, loose in turn three and all that kind of stuff. There's some great insight into all the stuff that you guys do, and the fans, the listeners love to hear about it. So let's talk about it. You're an ambassador for the Iron Man Foundation. That is a great honor, and you have worked. We've seen it on social media as well. Talk about it.
Yeah, I'm. Thank you for letting me talk about this. This past year, the Ironman Foundation asked me to be an ambassador for 2018. I've actually been doing Ironman. This will be my third Ironman, half Ironman that I'm going to do this next coming weekend, next Saturday. And I actually just committed to a full Ironman with some of my buddies. It's coming up in November. So they asked me to be part of this foundation, and we basically we raise money and we get back to the communities where we race. Next weekend I'll be racing in Santa Rosa, California, and the day after, my family and all of the Ironman ambassadors that are competing in the event, we're going to build some homes for folks who lost their homes in the wildfires last year out there in Northern California. So I'm really excited to be a part of that. I did an auction earlier this year and was able to raise over $10,000. I auctioned off all kinds of sports memorabilia from some of my NASCAR buddies, as well as folks in the college football and college basketball arenas that I know and have worked with over the years. So it was really humbling. Everybody that kind of reached out and started offering me things to auction off during this auction, and to be able to give back to the Ironman Foundation. They've given so much to me in terms of being paired with some really, really cool people, and the gift of health and the gift of being part of this great organization.
Yeah, people see you on television, and you look like, and you are certainly the picture of health. And but some of these stories can be inspirational, not only to get out and support some of the causes that you're supporting through the efforts, but also just to get out and do some of these events. It can be inspirational, and people don't necessarily know, you know, some of the challenges that you had. I know that Megan had sent that you had scoliosis, and there was a time in your life where you didn't know if you'd be able to walk or run or anything, much less do something that most people will never be able to do.
No doubt. I was diagnosed with scoliosis probably in 19. I was nine. So it was 87 or 88, something like that. And so when I was diagnosed, they shut everything down with me. I wasn't able to do any kind of like dancing, you know, ballet, tap, jazz, which is what little girls do. And I had to give up all kinds of sports. And over the years, I had corrective surgery when I was 11 or 12 years old. I had rods put in my back on each side of my spine. And certainly that was something that you had to recover from. And there was no way that I could predict that I would not only be able to do what I do in terms of the endurance athlete, but I have twin boys and was able to carry, you know, twins. They didn't go to term, but that wasn't because of me. That was because of the kids. They wanted to come out and party, I like to say, a little bit early.
That's their fault,
but
right?
To be able to do that, yes, it was. but to be able to do that, you know, and certainly things that I overcame and experiences that I had as a young child because of the scoliosis and because of the surgery in terms of, you know, the kids not understanding really what it was that I had that they didn't have. I think it makes me empathetic to situations that I encounter nowadays. And certainly, I hope, an inspiration to people, to young girls who are going through similar things, and to people who think that they can't.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Shannon Spakes. You know her from all of that great work, NASCAR Race Hub, NASCAR on Fox, and all the racing stuff that she is a part of as well. And for the listeners that may not, they know it's hard. I think they get it, right? You know, that it's, you know, like a marathon or a triathlon or an Ironman. They know that it's very difficult. But for those people maybe not in tune with exactly what you do in an Ironman, can you fill them in?
Yeah. Well, the half Ironman events is what I do right now. And so it's a 1.2-mile swim, and it's an open water swim with 2,000 of your closest friends. And then it's a 56-mile bike ride, and then it's a 13.1-mile run. And so that's the 70.3 half Ironman distance. The full Ironman distance is just double that.
Jeez.
But I'll tell you, I know. I will tell you, you know, so listen, one of the ambassadors, I'll tell you two stories of the ambassadors on my crew. One is, his name's Derek Fitzgerald, and I just tweeted out his story. He is the first heart transplant recipient to complete an Ironman. I'm complaining about things, a pulled muscle or a sore calf when he had a heart transplant. Another one of my friends, my ambassadors, his name is Mike Ergo, and he lost over 20 of his soldiers in the Battle of Fallujah, came back, he had extreme PTSD, and credits triathlons and specifically Ironman events with saving his life. He recently did a full Ironman carrying a very large flag on a flag pole, not just a small little like handheld flag. The 26 miles he ran, he carried that flag, and when he finished, he gave it to a mother of another fallen soldier. And so those are stories to me that motivate me, and those are stories that when I'm tired or I'm not feeling that I want to go out, they inspire me to get out there.
Wow. You know, it's when you say those things, it's like you're saying to me and probably many listeners, some are going to be inspired, I know, that, you know, to get out there and do some things, not only inspiration, the triumph of the human spirit and all that kind of stuff, but some of these things sound impossible. It's like, well, first we go and we land on the moon and then we do this. I mean,
yeah.
Physically, that sounds tough. Well, there's the other thing that we do on this show as well, not only talk about the motorsports, but family road trips and transformative travel. And I heard that you guys went, and this is one of the places that we're considering going with our kids. We've got three under 11, as you went to Washington, D.C. Can you share a little bit about the vacation, what you saw, you know, what kind of things you checked out?
Absolutely. My children are 8 years old. I have 8-year-old twin boys, and I've actually never been to Washington, D.C. I've covered games at Georgetown before, and I just never had a chance to go in and look at the sights. And so my one son actually wanted to go see Taylor Swift. And so I looked up her
nice.
I know, I looked up her schedule and saw that she was going to be in Washington, D.C. and figured, let's make a family vacation out of it. And we did. We were able to go to Arlington, and we did a bike tour that allowed us to see all of the monuments and memorials. And we went to Taylor Swift. We went out to Mount Vernon, which is where George Washington lived and died. And it was incredible. It was such a great vacation for all of us, my kids are at the age where they're aware of the fact that we're standing in a Vietnam memorial, and all of these names on this memorial are people who died in war, in the war that their grandfather was in, and the World War II memorial and the Lincoln's memorial. And, you know, we tried to read the proclamation to them and kind of explain to them the situation that allows them to do what they do today. And I think it definitely affected them. I know it affected me and my husband. It was an incredible trip.
Yeah, it's one thing, you know, you see it, and of course, you know, everybody learned all about all that stuff in school, but to get there and up close and personal and see some of that history up close is really something special. And then, of course, like Taylor Swift, I got to tell you, I took two of my kids to Taylor Swift. It was a great show, right? It was really amazing.
It was awesome. She was awesome. No doubt about it. She puts on a great show.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Shannon Spake. You know her from all of the racing stuff, motorsports work that she does with Fox, with Race Hub. And this year, before we let you go, you know, here in the Midwest, you know, this is a lot of football, and you're going to be getting back on the sidelines and doing some NFL stuff. Is that something that you've always been? I know you've done it before in the past as far as football. Is this something you're looking forward to getting back on the sidelines?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think I have a game in Chicago. So my dad actually lives. He grew up right outside of downtown Chicago in Lansing, Illinois. So I spent summers up there, spent summers coming into the city. Back then, I was allowed to ride the bus into the city by myself. And my family and I have spent a little bit of time out in Chicago. So I love the city. It's like I feel like it's my second home. So I think I'll be able to do a game out there this year, looking at the schedule. But, yes, the answer is yes. I did college football and college basketball while I was at ESPN for about 5 years. And when I made the move over to Fox Sports, obviously we don't have the college football. I was part of their college football package to start. And now we have Big Ten, which is amazing. But I really wanted to do the NFL. And the NFL, the leap to the NFL has been incredible for me. The athleticism that these athletes have and the pace of the game and just the fans and the environment are pretty spectacular for me. And I really, really enjoy it. So now I've been able to cover college football, college basketball, NASCAR, NFL, and baseball is the only thing I haven't done. And so maybe that'll be next.
Well, the spectacle of it, and hopefully you'll be able to sit in on what will be a markedly more successful Bears season if you do get here to Chicago. And we hope you would come visit us in studio, and we'll talk a little bit about some of your adventures as they unfold during the NFL season. So before we let you go, Shannon, if you want to give out social media, people can follow all your adventures and support all of those great causes you're involved with.
Yeah, I'm at Shannon Spake, and I apologize for all the music that's behind me. I'm actually at an indoor go-kart place with my kids right now, so I'm trying to find the quietest place that I could talk to you guys, but unfortunately, every time I move 5 feet, there's either screaming children or or loud music, so I apologize if it's really loud behind me. But I'm Shannon Spake, at Shannon Spake on Twitter and on Instagram, and certainly, just reach out, say hi. If something I do inspires you in any way, you know, give me a like and send me a note. If anybody has any races coming up or anything like that they want to just share, I love hearing people's stories.
Well, Shannon, we love what you do. I know a lot of listeners do as well, and we'll see you at the track and on the field for football as well. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks, Dane. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Shannon Spake. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Greg from Speakeasy Customs. Keep it here on the road with Dane, 720 WGN. Let's set this
party off right. Hey, Smart Trex Jr., driver the number 78 Furniture Row Toyota, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high atop Chicagoland, looking out over what is a great summer day here in our fair. I don't want to say necessarily the city. Of course, you know, we reach the greater Midwest at all times, and I'm sure WGN is the favorite station. You know, you go around the country, you talk to people. There are so many people from what I would consider to be very far away that are regular listeners, so excited to be able to share something universally appreciated, which is cars. And Greg Alonzo is in studio with us. You know him from Speakeasy Customs, some of the awards that he's won at World of Wheels, and he's kind of takes people's either visions or desires and turns them into kind of their dream cars, does it on a regular basis over there. And Greg, you know, welcome back first off.
Thank you.
Is there something about, I think whether it's, you know, kids or whether, you know, goes all the way up to, you know, some of the older generations, it's kind of a universal thing. There's, you know, I think America in itself has a love affair with the automobile.
Yes.
And, you know, it is a very, it's a unique place when you have some of these cruise nights and car shows, and they're happening all around the country, really. You know, I want to say Chicagoland, but all around the country, you know, where you get people that get there and talk. And so the appreciation really does run through pretty much everyone.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I personally had an interest in cars as a young man, but I was like building
what
models.
What kind of cars?
Stuff.
Was there a type of car? Because it seems like there are some people who like all kinds of cars. I like, you know, you'll see sometimes on the Instagram, I ran into like a Porsche 356. You know, I took a picture of that, but I love all the old muscle cars as well. I can appreciate certainly some of the new things. I think during the break you mentioned the Lamborghini. Well, geez, what's wrong with that? You know, and the Ferraris. You know,
yeah.
Is it all cars or did you have a certain kind?
For me, it's really all cars. I've always really had a passion for classic cars, obviously, but I've also had an appreciation for European cars like Lamborghinis. I saw, like you said, I saw one on the way in today. And then at the same time, I saw a Torino just across the, just downstairs. I believe it belongs to a firefighter in the firehouse parking lot here.
Was Starsky and Hutch, was that a Torino?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes, it was. It was, I forget the exact year, but yeah, it's definitely a Ford Torino.
So talk about that a little bit when it comes to your story. Here's the thing. Sometimes people, you know, ever grown up to it and, you know, they've grown up in and around it. Maybe it was something that their parents appreciated or whatever, but you know, you're an adult. Mm-hmm. You're a relatively young adult, but you were an adult doing all the things before you decided to really kind of make that move.
Yes.
And get involved and in with your passions on the car side.
Yeah, for the most part, I spent most of my young adult life working in corporate offices, sitting behind a computer.
So crazy, because that is like a complete departure from what it is you do now.
It totally is. And it explains a lot of why I was so restless in those jobs. But basically, I came across a time in my life about 6 years ago, where I hit a really rough patch in my life. I lost my mom suddenly to a heart attack. My wife and I went through a bad miscarriage. My father-in-law, who had been a part of my life for almost 20 years at that point, got cancer and passed away over a 6-month period.
Whoa.
And I also lost one of my dogs that I raised for 12 years. All this happened in a short 2-year period.
Wow.
And coincidentally, I was working at home at the time, and I found myself in a deep depression. And I wasn't really doing much of anything but watching a lot of Velocity Channel and drinking. And I decided I got up one morning and I was really mad at myself and disappointed in the way I was doing things. And something just clicked. And I said, I'm sitting there watching Velocity, of course. And I just said, okay, I want to build cars. That's what I really want to do. Over the next 4 years, I found myself, falling backwards into this mentoring program where I got started. And I got my feet wet and I got a good taste of what it is to build cars. And I also had a place there where I can practice a lot of the things that I learned. And then it just kept getting more and more. At first, I went there for a way to forget some of my troubles, but then it turned into, wait, this is what I really want to do for a career. And it just elevated from there. I went back to school. I went to Morton College and I haven't quite finished my program, but I've got 23 credit hours and a 4.0 GPA. And I just kept pushing myself further and further. And basically, it's really strange, but within a 4-year period, I learned everything from metalworking to welding to painting and bodywork to some interior work, engines and suspensions. And now I have my own 10,000 square foot shop.
Well, I mean, come on, you think about that. From an inspirational story to you could be doing whatever it is that you're doing now. If that's the bug that bit you, you know, to get into kind of, you know, as a car enthusiast and even working on it. Lots of people like cars. Not everybody is hardwired to do the work that you do. So to be able to find that, I think is truly a blessing to be able to do that. We're going to talk more about that and then some of the collaborations that you've got with Claremont. Rob's going to be calling up a little later on in the program as well. Right now, though, we're going to take a break, and it is news time. And so right now at 3:30 news time, the news is sponsored by Gilkey Window Company. Here's Bob Kessler.
Hey, this is Alexander Rossi, Indy 500 champion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I just want to stay in the sun where I find. I know it's our
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here at the Allstate Skyline Studios, and on the line with us, we talked with Greg Elkin, Communications Director for IMSA, a little bit ago. And you know we're huge fans of Road America, the National Park of Speed. And on the line, excited to have the co-driver of the number 5 Mustang Sampling Cadillac. He has got 2 wins this year, the Rolex 24 at Daytona Long Beach Grand Prix as well, and will be behind the wheel at Road America coming up. It's the one and only Joe Wild Barbosa. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me, Dane. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And talk a little bit about some of the things. Of course, a native of Portugal, so you get to see with the series America. You get to kind of travel around and see some of the tracks. And when it comes to Road America, we talked with Greg and a bunch of other drivers on the Indy side, and people love it. It's a beautiful place to watch a race, but it's a lot of fun to drive.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to be at Road America and actually drive the Cadillac, the Mustang Sampling Cadillac. Road America is one of the tracks that we are always excited to go and race. It makes for great racing, but also it's very exciting for a driver. It's quite technical and very fast. So the top speed is pretty high. It's very technical corners, and you know it just makes for great racing.
So here's the thing, too, is 9 career WeatherTech Sports Car Championship victories, 27 podiums in the 5-year history of the series. So obviously very successful from Portugal. Are there a ton of racing fans in Portugal? I don't necessarily hear about it all the time. Was there an opportunity to stay in Portugal and race, or did you know you needed to come here to the States to fully realize your dreams?
Yeah, unfortunately, Portugal is such a small country that motorsport's not very developed. There's no really a professional series right now in Portugal. Most of the series that run there are amateurs. So it's to make it a career out of it, definitely we need to move out of Portugal, unfortunately. But I'm so happy to have the opportunity to be racing in America for, I would say, the last at least 10 years straight. So very pleased. I wouldn't change a thing. I'm really happy to be here, and obviously with the support of Action Express, and I was able to continue the career with great success, and looking forward to accumulate a few more wins this year.
And so now you're living in Charlotte, North Carolina. That is kind of, other than maybe Indianapolis, right, it is sort of the headquarters for a lot of the motorsports that happens in the country. And the race that's coming up is the Continental Tire Road Race Showcase. And the WeatherTech Championship race is going to be 1:30 at Sunday on August 5th. Tickets are available. And also, too, is this is another thing we mentioned, too. Kids 16 and under are free, you know, with an adult for the entire weekend. So this is a great. Are you going to have your son? I know you've got an 11-year-old son who's a huge fan not only of some of the things happening in Wisconsin, but also racing. Is he going to be there that weekend?
Actually, we're planning a road trip with all the family. So I have a 14-year-old son, Rodrigo, and my 11-year-old is a big Packers fan. So trying to make a trip out of it, and definitely see if we have the opportunity to go up to Green Bay and enjoy a few hours there and see if we can watch the Packers practice or something. So he's going to get a kick out of it. But definitely both my sons, they love racing. They love Road America. They play it on the iRacing games and the simulators, so they can't wait to actually see the track for the first time.
You know, people come from all over the country, and they come to, let's say, Chicago and Wrigley Field, regardless of what your favorite team is. It's one of those, you know, iconic sports venues, right? Lambeau Field is similar, right? You know, I know from a Bear fans perspective, you know, I think everybody would have to agree, though, that it's one of those kind of bucket list places for a lot of sports fans to see a game. I mean, the sight lines are great and all that kind of stuff, but I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering, Joe, while how did your son, you know, coming from Portugal, how did your son become a huge Packers fan? How did that happen? They probably want to safeguard from their own children having that happen to them.
I actually, to tell you the truth, I really don't know how he became a Packers fan. I know he had a couple of friends that were a big Packers fan, and his name is Gil, so it starts with a G. Okay. And he loves green, so the G and the green and the yellow, and having friends that are Packers fan, I think they kind of bought them. He was bought into being a Packers fan, but it's definitely, his room is all like with Packers everywhere, Packers sheets. So it's became a really big Packers fan. So it's really cool that see if we have the opportunity to go up there and show him the Lobo Field and just do a tour out of it.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, coming off of the injury, this will be an opportunity. You'll be back behind the wheel at Road America, and so people are excited to see you continue on what has been a great racing season so far this year. So for those people that want to catch up with your adventures, do you have social media people can follow you? And, of course, we're encouraging everybody to come up and see you in person coming up on August 5th.
Yeah, definitely. I really can't wait to go to Road America, one of my favorite tracks of the season for sure. Especially now that I'm coming out of two races that I couldn't do due to a wrist injury. I was riding my bicycle and working out, and I had unfortunately a small accident that I broke my left wrist. So I can't wait to be back in Road America and get back behind the Mustang Sampling Cadillac number 5 and get going. But definitely you can follow some of my day-to-day activities on Instagram or Twitter with Barboza Racing. So it's always interesting, especially during the race weekends, that sometimes it shows a different perspective from the racing a racing perspective to the general public and the general fans. So it's always cool to see that as well, behind-the-scenes tour.
Yeah, let the listeners know we're talking with Joe Barbosa. He's the co-driver of the number 5 Mustang. And as we let you go, and we'll have links up to the social media at WGNRadio.com, did your race team, did the race owners, did your teammates, did they take away the bicycle and tell you you're not allowed to do that anymore?
Well, my wife wanted to sell the bike the next day, so it was one of those incidents, you know. It's like a race car driver needs to be fit, needs to be ready to race, and for that needs to work out. He needs to be in the best shape as possible, right? So I've been riding bicycles for many, many years, and this was actually the first time I really have an incident, and it was actually on a very low speed incident, an unfortunate incident. But these things happen. Definitely would need to take more care of it, because it's actually the first time in my career that I missed a couple of races due to an injury. So yeah. It's definitely no fun to watch the races from the sidelines, and I can't wait to go back.
All right. Well, we want to wish you, you know, some safety. You know, elliptical, that would be the way to go. Get one of those
kind
of
stationary
bikes. You're up, and encourage the listeners to get out there and see you up at Road America. And thanks, Joe, for taking so much time and jumping on the air with us today. Joe Barbosa, thanks so much.
Thanks, Dan. It was great to be on the show, and hopefully the fans are able to come and join us in Road America and have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you soon. All right, roadamerica.com for tickets there. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Robert from the Claremont Collection and a little bit of the things that they're doing with the Classic Auto Show coming up September 8th and 9th at the Donald E. Stevens Center. And Greg Alonzo from Speakeasy, he's collaborating as well. He'll be in studio for that. Stay tuned. It's Dane here on the Road, 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Mike Joy from NASCAR on Fox. You're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Zane, live here, Allstate Skyline Studios here, 303 Wacker, high atop the great view of so many, not so high, only the 18th floor here, that you can't make out all the great cars moving around Chicagoland and all the streets as well. And you see so many of them, but nothing like the ones that you see at Claremont Collection. And this is a thing that I kind of just happened upon, you know, in and around the area for the longest time. You know, you think you know where a lot of the great, you know, car shows, cruise nights and all that kind of stuff is. You think you know where the good cars are at. And of course, we've talked that, you know, you'll run into them. Greg, you've mentioned you just run into some cool cars.
Oh, yeah.
You just turn around, you know, and I'll take a picture. It's that day and age where you can kind of capture them on your phone as well. But there is a place that was at one time, and I mean maybe 6 months ago, under the radar, but no longer. And this guy is helping get the word out in a big way for the Claremont Collection. It's Robert Olson. Rob, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dane. Thanks for having me.
So here's the thing. You have you've done a couple of the car shows. You've done some events, and I know that people love to get in there and see that collection. It is absolutely amazing, and I know we're going to have a little bit of time to talk about the Classic Auto Show and the collaborations. We've got, you know, Greg Alonzo in studio with us as well. But for the listeners that maybe missed the last time that you were on, if you could give kind of that thumbnail of all that magic that you have over there at Claremont.
Sure. We're located at 3117 North Knox. So we're off of Belmont and Cicero. We have approximately 100,000 square feet. We have several rooms that are themed according to the era of the car. And at any given time, we have about 300 cars on display, ranging anywhere from turn of the century all the way to a 2008 Tesla. For the most part, there is a car here for everyone. So it doesn't matter if you're a Ford guy, if you're a particular era, we have a car here for you. Our recent addition to the collection has been a car called the Golden Sahara 2. I think maybe Gregory had mentioned it prior.
Yes, I have.
This car, I mean, we're getting so many hits on it, and it's such a special car in the automotive world that we can't wait to share it with people. And again, citing the Classic Car Show in Rosemont, September 8th and 9th, that vehicle is going to make its appearance there. And we are the guest of honor, and Mr. Claremont, I'm going to let him say hello. He's sitting next to me, and how could I not let him say hello when I'm sitting with a fellow like Larry Claremont?
I don't want to say hello. I just want to know if you could loan us about $100 million.
Wow, what an honor. So, Mr. Claremont, it's great to have you on. I've had the opportunity, the honor, really, to see the collection that you put together, and it is something I'm excited that, you know, more and more people are getting to check some of those vehicles out and enjoy it, right? Because, you know, you got them, you assemble them because you enjoy them. It's great to have people be able to see that as well.
Yeah, I love WGN. It's my favorite channel.
Nice. That's good. I mean, that certainly doesn't hurt. That's great to hear. Yeah, and so for this car, talk a little bit about, Mr. Claremont, if you would. You know, I know that the different cars, but you have a bunch of them from all over the place, but there are certain ones that you really liked, right? You know, there's a certain make and model that maybe you collected more of than others, right?
Well, I love them all because I bought them all. So it's difficult for me to pick out a special car. But one of the very unique things about our museum is that we have cars that are owned are you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Cars that are owned by previous famous people. For example, we have the Shaq O'Neal personal car of him. And when he found out I bought the car, he was nice enough to send over a signed basketball and his jersey. Tell you the truth, I bought the car. I didn't even know he was the previous owner. We have a car here previously owned by Mae West. We have a car here that was owned by World War I flying ace, Congressional Medal of Honor. It was
Rickenbacker.
Eddie Rickenbacker.
Wow, that is so cool.
President of Eastern Airlines. And we have his personal car. And it is outstanding. It's fabulous. We also have something here that's very unique. And one of the reasons it was so unique is it was made in Chicago. And it's one of only 50 cars left in the whole world. And there is no other car ever, other than the DeLorean, that ever had more publicity and activity on this revolutionary new car. And there's a movie made about it. Several movies are made about it. There are only 50 of them left in the whole world, and we have one. Another unique car that we have here, we could go on and on and on, Jackie Gleason's personal car. It's an Excalibur, beautiful custom car made just for him. And the reason he sold it is he got so fat that he couldn't get into the car anymore.
Oh, you know, I was going to say, you know, even with Shaquille O'Neal, for those people that know, I mean, he's a giant.
Another very interesting car we just purchased was President Eisenhower's personal Cadillac.
Yep.
Very, very unique car. And he liked fresh water, and there's a drinking fountain in the glove compartment this car.
See, that's it. So there is a lot of different cars over there at Claremont Collection. And here's the thing about it, too, is that there's so much history there. You mentioned a lot of different, you know, celebrities. So if you're fans of certain, you know, bits of Americana, it's there as well. But these are all kind of, they're all one-offs. You know, these are all unique cars that you just won't find anyplace else. And then coming up at the Classic Auto Show, and you've got that Sahara coming up. And Larry or Robert, if you want to talk a little bit about the Sahara.
So the Sahara itself, it had been out of sight. It was almost a legendary car. 50 years, no one had seen this car after it had been profiled across the United States. So
there's no car in the history of antique and classic cars that generated more interest in this car. He would take it to car shows, and I'm going back 50 years, and he would gather thousands of people to come gather to view this car because it was so unusual and so unique. The car, you could start the engine remotely. The car could drive forward, backward, and turn with a keyboard without getting into the car. It had, in those days, it had a TV set in it. It has a bar in it. And you really have to see the car to believe how unusual it is.
Yeah.
So first autonomous car. I mean, it actually has that attached to it. It really is the first autonomous car. And when you think about the conversations that are being had worldwide, what a special vehicle to have.
Yeah, it's a ton of history. And the way that I was made aware of the Claremont Collection was that you brought a few cars out, the Batmobile included, out to the auto show. And so it's great for you to take some of those cars, amazing cars, bring them to some of these events. People can see them, and then they're inspired to check out the rest of the collection. I know we've got to take a break. We are looking forward to seeing the car out at the Classic Auto Show September 8th and 9th at the Donald E. Stevens Center. And Robert, if you want to, or Mr. Claremont, if you want to give the website out and for more information, people can come and visit you guys all the time out there on Knox.
Sure. Our website is www.claremontcollections. That's Claremont with a K, collections with a K. You can Instagram hashtag Claremont Collections. But YouTube has some beautiful videos. You can get a taste of what we have here. We have event space. We have multi-floors, cars, it's just a beautiful place. And we have free parking. I always throw that in, Dane, but in the city of Chicago, that's a bonus.
No, that's big. That should be on the front of the brochure. Wait, Greg's got a question really
quick. Yeah, actually, I just wanted to add real quick, too. I was authorized to mention this a little bit. The other cool thing about the Golden Sahara right now is that it's also a candidate to be taken to a very prestigious European auto show in March. I've been asked to not give much more information than that, Okay. But it's going to be taken there by Goodyear if everything works out, and it's going to be a really huge thing for Claremont and for Speakeasy.
Wow.
So we're happy to share it, and we hope it does get destination. So
yep.
Thank you again, Dane.
Yeah. Yeah, Robert, and thank you, Mr. Claremont, too, Larry, for jumping on as well. We're excited. We're going to have you on as we get closer to this event. I know that the station and our show On the Road, we're going to be working directly with these guys and highlighting some of the motorsports celebrities that they've got, give us some tickets away, and, of course, we'll highlight the fact that you and the Golden Sahara will be there. So thanks, guys.
All right, thanks again.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and then we will send it to the beat. Stay here. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Cal Petty, and you're On the Road with Dane on WGN.
Victims of psycho.
All right, 720 WGN wrapping things up here on the road live in the Allstate Skyline studio.